Blog Talk Radio.
Have tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Yes, you and you. Let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together, and let us continually look to the hill from which cometh our help. Our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I am so glad that you have joined me on today. And I tell you, child of God, you are in for another glorious and wonderful lesson on today. Why don't you grab your Bibles and come right on in and make yourself right at home. Call someone, encourage them to come and get on the line with us on today. I know you're going to be greatly, greatly blessed by the Lord and what the Lord has given me for you on today. Amen. And so we're going to get ready to pray and just talk to the Lord and then bid him to come and to bless this session. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you for all that you've done and doing in and through the life of your people. We ask, oh God, that you would just move by your power divine. And Father, we thank you because you alone is worthy of all the praise, glory, and honor. And we give you the praise, glory, and honor that is due unto your name. Now bless the hearers and bless those that would listen, God, and strengthen them and meet every need. Let not a need go lack. And we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. So our lesson on today is the miracle in the storm. And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through verse number 33. And verse number Psalms 107 and verse 29. And let's take a look at the storm and what the miracle will be in your storm. Yes, the storm you're facing right now is a miracle in that. Let's take a look at the word of the Lord, Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when it was evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, is it a spirit? And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, and be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And Psalms 107, verse 29 for today. He maketh storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. I'll say that again. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Jesus walked on things that cause us to fear. Let's take a look at this. In this lesson, we're going to be talking about for every person of us have need a miracle in the storm. Now, life is much like the ocean in that it is seldom calm. As quickly as the winds of the storm subside, the horizon dances with the clouds of another one approaching. Just as Jesus was key to the disciples' security on the sea that the fateful night, he is also our miracle in the storms of our lives. Now, we must see it. We're going to study how Jesus' disciples fought for their life against the contrary winds and waves of the violent storm. Obviously, they were afraid and thought they was going to perish, but Jesus spoke to them out of the midst of the storm and told them not to fear. My God. And I believe that that's what God is saying to his people even on today, is to not to fear. Let's take a look further. We also will study how Peter, famous walk on the water, he was the only one in the boat who was willing to leave his safety to get closer to Jesus. Now, while some people may only remember Peter sinking, we should focus on his walking. Interestingly, the Bible records both the successes and the failures of his character. We all further explore the purpose and the benefit of the storm in our life. The difficult time of life can work to bolster our trust in the Lord. When things in our life go awry, we learn more about both God and ourselves. Difficulties and defeat causes us to study our approach to life, while ease and victory only causes us to bask thoughtlessly in self-contentment. Hopefully, this lesson will teach us how God peace in the midst of our storm. Even if he chooses not to quiet the wind, he will reassure us and give us patience to endure the storm and survive. We are confident that whether we are witnessing a miracle or we are struggling in a storm, Jesus is with us, and he can increase the bread and decrease the wind, the breath and decrease the wind. And indeed, he is the master, and he's able to make all adjustments in our life to bring comfort and safety even to our soul. Either way he chooses, we will witness a miracle in the storm. Now, let's take sent into the storm. Now, Matthew 14 and 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent his multitude away. Now, Jesus had just multiplied the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes to feed the hungry multitude. Now it was time for the vast crowd to disperse. According to Matthew, it was already evening before Jesus fed the massive crowd of people, Matthew 14 and 15. After the miraculous feeding, it was even later. The Bible simply declares he sent the multitude away. Although we all enjoy the rush of the miraculous, we must face the reality of good things coming to an end. The last service of the revival ends, camp meeting closes, youth camp finishes, and things just come to the conclusion, and we must return back to normal. Now, these are the time our test of our spiritual strength will take place and what our response will be to all of our friends and family that departed and we are left alone. We should keep in mind God's promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The faithfulness simply means that we keep going and doing what we are supposed to do regardless of our situation that's taking place in our life. And sometimes that can be the most challenging place for the child of God. Should I continue on? Should I stop? We're getting caught up in the things that are going on. Even on this morning, God placed in my spirit and heart to share with the people and to protect our ear gates. Amen. Because so many things is coming out, so many forces and foes that are coming against the children of God and against this even world itself. But we as the children of God, we got to keep our gate, keep our eye gate, keep our ear gate and our minds and our spirit and hearts of what we're allowing in so that things won't come in or get into our heart by being steadfast on the word of the Lord our God or what he promised or what he said he was going to do who we are as the children of God, rehearsing that, speaking it forth, and reminding and bringing your children into remembrance of what the Spirit of the Lord have said and given unto the children of God, the promises of him. They are yea and amen. Now, let's look further into our lesson. As much as we love and respect people, we all have times when we feel the need to get away. Crowds are worrisome, especially in one of the ministering to them. Jeremiah proclaimed, "Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place for the wayward foreign men, that I might leave my people and go from them." And as it was not wrong for Jesus to desire some time alone, neither was it wrong for his disciple to desire a time of occasional separation from the crowd. If Jeremiah and Jesus had need for time alone, how much more we need to spend time away from the crowd as well? Why can crowds be bad? There are several reasons. Crowds influence. When we see everyone doing something, we feel pressured to conform to whatever they're doing. Crowds also intimidate. Invariably, when there is a crowd, there are always those who are outspoken against anyone trying to do what is right. The strength that we feel when we are alone can be weakened when we are around others who may have the wrong kind of influence on us. Every victorious child of God knows the value of time spent alone. It is good to pray in a group, and consecrated prayer is powerful, but nothing can replace time spent in prayer alone. Jesus emphasized this to his disciple. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter thou in thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Matthew 6:6. Jesus was not condemning public prayer, but he was censoring the Pharisees. "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the street, but that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you that they have their reward." Matthew 6:5. Although the Apostle John did not choose to be exiled on the Isle of Patmos, he received the glorious revelation of Jesus Christ called the Book of Revelation while he was there alone. He never would have received those insights in the midst of a maddening crowd. Certainly, we receive wonderful things from the Lord while meditating and praying alone. Sent into the storm. When Jesus commanded his disciple to get into a ship and go and wait for him on the other side, he knew that they would encounter a storm. There were at least two possible reasons Jesus sent the disciple into the storm. Knowing that they would face the storm, he may have wanted to test their faith and teach them an important lesson. Or although he knew the storm was across their path, he did not alter either the storm path or the schedule of his disciple, letting the factor of time and chance happen. He knew that regardless of the circumstances, he would keep them from harm while they were in the storm. There are times Jesus sends us into storms of life, and other times he allows us to go through the storms of life, just happen to be in our path. Either case, he knows we will face turbulence, but he also knows that a storm creates a special classroom where we can learn many valuable lessons. It is not that he wants us to suffer, but he does desire that we learn and grow spiritually from those experiences as well. Just as defeat often teaches us more than victory, storms can teach us more than tranquility as well. We always learn more about God, life, and ourselves when things are not going well. The preachers declare, "In the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider." You find that over in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 14. When things go well, we enjoy them and reflect less. But when things go badly, it causes much reflection. We also should remember that most of us, what happened in life is not directly from the hands of either God or Satan. It is simply life. Ecclesiastes 9:11 said, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not given to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet the bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor of men of skill, but time and chance happens to us all. Does God know what happened? What happened to individual? Absolutely, yes. Jesus knew the disciple would encounter that storm that day. Most importantly, he cares for us whether what happened to us happened by chance or by his choice. He knew the disciple were going into a storm and he could have altered it before the disciple even encountered it. But he chose instead to steal the wind and waves after they had experienced it. Seen in the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, is this a spirit? And they cried out for fear. Now, as the disciples were on the ship about to become victims of a vicious storm, they saw Jesus in the midst of the sea. If they had known who it was, they would not have been so frightened. However, they thought that they had seen the ghost until he revealed himself. Therefore, Jesus comforted the disciples, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Now, Jesus is in every storm of life that anyone experiences. Since he is omnipresent, we should always remember that he is present in our storm. We should not feel alone and threatened or frightened when the storm arrives. We may not be able to see him, but he is always there. Too many people mistakenly think of Jesus' place as being only in the church. It is true that he is the church. He is in the church. And he is also is everywhere else. Remembering that while in the midst of our storm, we will help us to discover him and progressively learn more and more about him. Let's take a look at some of this aspect about being safe even in the midst of your storm. Jesus walked in the storm. Perhaps the child of God's greatest challenge is to trust in the Lord. We may know all the scripture revealing how his ability to supply our needs and care for us, but we somehow find them difficult to believe in the midst of trying circumstances. Ideally, our circumstances should have nothing to do with our trusting the Lord, for he is faithful that promise. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There have no temptation taking you such as common to man, but God is faithful who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. When we are in God's hand, he provides us with a shield from the storm around us. He becomes our stellar in the storm. God asked Satan, has thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil? Satan responds, does Job fear God for naught? Has thou not made a hedge around about him and his house and all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hand, and his substance is increased in the land. Thank God that we know that there is a hedge around about us as the children of God. Now let's look at Jesus walking on the water. The Lord had his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Nahum 1:3. Now the floor covered in his biggest business because people are discriminating about what their feet walk on. If it is carpet, some want a soft, thick ply so that their feet can sink into the softness. Others prefer a shorter or pie, giving them a firmer surface for their feet. We have all walked on rough and rocky surface that were not only difficult to walk on, but also uncomfortable. However, God can walk on anything. Miraculously, Jesus received enough support from the surface of the sea that it would enable him to walk where normally no one else could. Even the phenomena of the surface tension is inadequate to support the weight of a person on water. The molecule that allows a double-edged razor blade to float on as long as the surface is not penetrated were ordered that day to hold hands and support the other creator. This should encourage everyone going through a stormy experience. God will give us support that we need to succeed where we normally will fail. Troubled surface will hold hands and support us, enabling us to walk when otherwise we could not even stand up. Jesus walking on the water teaches us many lessons, one of which that is through Christ. It is possible to receive the support what is normally insufficient to support us. For example, putting God first with our finances enabled God to support us with what could not even be sufficient. If Jesus walked where it was not possible to walk, can we not walk with divine assistance where it is humanly impossible to walk? The prophet Isaiah declared, "When thou passest through the water, I will be with thee, and through the river, they shall not overflood thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kill upon thee." Isaiah 43:2. Part of this verse was demonstrated as true in Daniel 3, where the three Hebrews were cast into the fiery furnace for not bowing to the king's image. The Bible states the prince and governors and captains and the kings and counselor being gathered together saw these men upon whom bodies the fire have no power, nor was their hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of their fire have passed on them. That's Daniel chapter 3, verse 27. Let's look at Jesus and Peter walked on the water. Matthew chapter 14, verse 28 and 29 said, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." Now, when Peter asked Jesus to allow him to walk towards him, Jesus replied simply, "Come." We should carefully compliment Peter for his faith, for at the invitation of Jesus, he stepped across the gunwale onto the sea. If he had no faith, he would not have stepped into the sea. Although most Bible readers remember Peter's shrinking, and perhaps when he should instead focus on the fact that he did walk on water. Although we do not know how many steps he took, one single step on the water is miraculous. How often do we leave the boat with our faith high and begin walking on the water, and then, like Peter, we take our eyes off the Lord and begin focusing on our boisterous surroundings? When Peter began noticing the stormy and powerful waves, he began to sink. So do we when we stop focusing on Jesus. The author of the book of Hebrews wrote, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith," Hebrews 12:2. Jesus inspired Peter to step out of the boat, but Peter should have kept focusing on him to finish that faith. The Lord not only gives us faith to start, but also he provides us with faith to finish as well. When Peter began sinking, he frantically cried out to Jesus, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached towards him and picked him up out of those stormy waves, the mild reprimand, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Matthew 14:31. When Peter lost his focus on Jesus, he lost his support. The water held him as long as he focused his faith towards Jesus. Now the next verse declare, "And when they were come into the ship, This revealed that when Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, Peter again walked on the water. However, this time he walked with Jesus. It is always easier to walk on or walk in difficult places when we know that we are walking with him. Many people never walked on water because they never ventured out of the boat. Leaving the boat represents leaving their comfort zone. Some people do venture out of the boat, but they plunge into the water on the side opposite Jesus and attempt to walk in their own direction. When they begin sinking, Jesus is nowhere around to reach to them because they went actually in the wrong way and went away from him. Those who stepped out of their boat to get closer to Jesus often are criticized by those who stay in the boat. But those that are in the boat never have a chance to reach their potential in God. Further, it is not risk to leave the boat if we are leading to move closer to him. Critics may say that we are going off the deep end, but the deep water is only on the other side of the boat, away from him. We should note that only one disciple left the boat to go to Jesus. The majority stayed where they knew it was safer. Thus, to always follow the majority robs us of the opportunity of getting closer to Jesus. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be with you which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Let's look at being safe in the boat. It is not difficult to chart Peter's ups and downs in our lesson text. While he was in the boat, he experienced fear. While on the water, he experienced faith. Upon noticing the wind, he began to experience fear. Jesus rescued him. He was encouraged and again experienced faith. Whether the pattern of wavering is too typical of a disciples of the Lord, however, it is a normal aspect of human element. In his letter to the Romans, Paul used the phrase from faith to faith. You'll find that Romans 1 and 17. This seems to be a brief explanation of our cycle pattern of believing. Everyone has been given a measure of faith, but that measure of faith may be stronger at some time than others. We must recognize that when we suffer doubt and witness sinking spells like Peter did, it is always comforting to arrive back at the boat at Jesus' side. At the end of our life journey to experience on the sea of life, we will find ourselves Jesus' side, safely inside the ship. Now let us look further. Now, the cause of the calm. Matthew 14 and 32 said, and when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. The Creator was the same cause of the calm. As he spoke the word, peace, be still, and the sea, the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. His very presence calmed the storm on the lake that day. Although Matthew did not record the presence of the other boats on the Sea of Galilee that day, it is possible that others may have enjoyed the benefit of Jesus' command to the sea of that storm. Likewise, others around us, in the workplace, in your home, in your social circles, they benefit by the work of the giver of peace that is in our life. Not only does the very presence of Jesus Christ calm the storms of our life, but his stepping into our ship creates a calm for all to enjoy. No storms can continue when he, the Prince of Peace, reveals himself to us in the storm. Even the wild wind has to lie down at his command. How many testimonies have we heard where storms resulting from sin were abated when one surrendered his life to Jesus Christ and received the Holy Ghost? Many churches have people whose life has dearly been changed by Jesus Christ. We all have been. After they have been baptized or we've been baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, it's wonderful to hear the testimony of what God has done to calm the storm in our lives and to restore us. It is also the cause of our to worship. Matthew 14:33 said, "And then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God." What causes the disciples to worship the Lord? Was it the miracle that they had just witnessed? They had need a miracle to inspire their worship. They had just witnessed the feeding of the multitude with the last lunch before embarking on the boat. It seemed that Matthew was describing the cycle of human beings' faith. The disciple have seen the proof of Jesus' deity at the feeding of the multitude. Yet, here they were frightened by a presumed ghost appearing on the midst of the storm. After his performance of another miracle, he declared, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Perhaps the phrase of truth indicates some previous doubt in the disciples' mind. Although some people seem to need a miracle to excite their response in worship, we should mature spiritually to the place where our worship is spontaneous, whether or not we witness a miraculous demonstration. We should worship the Lord because the Bible commands us to do so. We should worship the Lord simply because he's worthy of our worship. The psalmist proclaimed that everything that have breath, praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Even if there is no perception, miracle, we should still yet praise him. Even when there is no presence to worship, our genuine worship comes from a deep place of love for our Savior. In concluding this lesson on today, we should study how Jesus sent his disciple by boat to the other side of the Galilee immediately after feeding of the hungry multitude. Jesus knew that there would be a storm. However, his foreknowledge of the storm did not keep him from sending his disciple into the midst. He demonstrated that he was able to protect and to provide his own no matter what the circumstances of life may bring. The storm that arose frightened the disciples. And when they saw Jesus walking on the water, they thought that they were seeing a ghost and believed that they were soon to perish. And when they called out, Jesus revealed himself to them as he walked upon the water, the very thing that he had given them such fear. This somewhat quieted his trembling followers, and the storm still raged until he was in the boat. Peter suddenly spoke, "If that this is really you, bid me to come to you." And when Jesus replied, "Come," Peter stepped out of the boat, and he did fine until he took his eyes off of Jesus, which tell us that the key to our faith is keeping our eyes on Jesus. After Jesus and Peter were in the boat and the calm came over the troubled sea, the disciple began to worship Jesus. However, we should mature spiritually to a point where we also worship him during the storm. By doing so, we will have the opportunity to enjoy a miracle in the midst of a raging storm. My God, child of God, keep your eyes on Jesus in the midst of your storm. Whether you're in a storm or not, I come to admonish your heart on today and encourage you, keep your eyes on Jesus Christ of Nazareth and watch him bless you in a mighty and a special way. I am so glad that you have come and was with me on today. I don't care what type of miracle storm that you're facing on today. I don't care what's going on in your life on today. I come to encourage your heart as never before that there is a miracle in the midst of your storm. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or even think, I'm in agreement with you that God will greatly bless and strengthen you on today. Gracious Father, we come right now in the mighty name of Jesus and thanking you, Father, for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. And those that are on this line today, Father, I come in agreement that, Lord, that the winds and the waves will be rebuked today as they keep their eyes on you. There's nothing too hard for our God. And God, we thank you for being so good to we, your people, and we give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen and amen. Until we meet again, encourage someone to come and meet us here at home, Helen R., Ministry of Empowerment. Until we meet again, may God graciously bless you. I pray that there will be no sorrow blessing that will come to you. And as I always would say, if you don't have it, God got it. And you're just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. Again, I pray a no sorrow blessing that will come your way. God bless you. Bye-bye.